Everyone, Shabbat Shalom. We serve an amazing God. He goes through great lengths to make sure we can follow what He's wrote about Himself. For so long, we thought you had to be a scholar, you had to be well educated, you had to go to seminary. But that's just not how God wrote about Himself. He wrote about Himself in a very simplistic way. Now, there is some work that we have to do in order to be able to understand what He says. And so we have to apply ourselves to the text. And I'm thankful that I'm seeing folks do that. Applying ourselves to the text is very important. Because we can get caught up with just quoting what we're familiar with. But when the battle comes and we don't have what we're familiar with, can't handle that, you got to go dig deep in the Word of God. It's got to be the thing that pulls you out of it. Amen? And so we're looking again at Bereshit. It seems like we've hit we've been stalled for whatever reason in the 41st chapter dealing with Yosef. But understand, Yosef's is the model of the entirety of Scripture as pertains to our salvation. If we don't understand what happened to Yosef, we're not going to fully understand what Yeshua did when He paid for our salvation. And so God went through great lengths to establish concretely everything that had to happen in Yosef's life, because He was going to bring about the same thing through His only begotten Son. And that, just that alone, we ought to be thrilled that Yehovah went through such great lengths to make sure He secured our salvation for us through the life of Yosef and how this was applied. Now, we see the patriarchs had to come along and be the beginnings of this, but we see Yosef is what's concretely written in stone, the salvation plan that God has applied to our lives. And so I said this from the beginning when we started on Yosef. I made a statement, and my statement was, this is the most important passages of the Genesis account because it pertains to our salvation. It's the thing that's going to get us through the difficulty. How many know we've all sinned and come short of the glory? Brother Chad beautifully had delivered the message last night that we have a job to do. We have to be actively involved in this. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. There's not somebody working it out for you. You got to work it. And even Yeshua, He paid for your salvation, but you have to work it out. He paid for it in full. There's nothing that He has to still do that's going to help you along the way. Everything that you need help in is solely going to come from what you and I do. So we can't be hearers of the Word only. We have to be doers of the Word. We have to let the Word be activated in our life. This is important. If the Word is not activated, we're going to always come up short. But we see Yosef through these little subtle things that you see in Yosef's life, we see how God is initiating how we should take on living the life that He wants us to live as believers. And so we want to continue to look at this. But let me go ahead and read, get a text here for you. 41, and let's see. Maybe we need to. Let's start with 41. I really want to start with 1. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, "See, I have set you over all the land of Mitzrayim." What did Pharaoh say? "I have set you over all the land of Mitzrayim." Who else was set over all the land of Mitzrayim? No one. Yosef was set over all the land of Mitzrayim. Now, the land of Mitzrayim at this particular dynasty, this was a huge plot of land. They had major cities within this Mitzrayim area. This was thriving. It was bustling. It was a major trade route. Everything was happening that was happening in the world was going through Mitzrayim. There was nothing that was happening that Mitzrayim wasn't involved or had knowledge of. And so, naturally, that's why God, in his infinite wisdom, made certain that Yosef was brought to Mitzrayim, because it was through Mitzrayim that he would call his son. Through Mitzrayim. That's why our master had to be brought to Mitzrayim when Herod sought to kill him. These are all tie-ins. These are all what we see in the text, what we say in the text. This is the connection. This is how God connects his word, so we're not fumbling around trying to make up what things mean. He makes certain to tell us what they mean, and so we see that. And so what we see here is he's being told, and Pharaoh said to Yosef, "See, I have set you over all." So now everybody say he now has his assignment. You ever thought about your assignment? What if I asked everybody to take a piece of paper out and I want you to write down in a few words your assignment? Could you do that? Because if you don't know your assignment, who knows it? Are you expecting somebody else to know it? What's your active engagement in the body of Christ? What is it? Yosef had to know his assignment. And so Pharaoh was the one. Now Pharaoh, again, because he was Pharaoh, he's acting as an Elohim. And he's making sure that Yosef knows this is your assignment. I'm stepping back. This is your assignment. And so now whatever happens from here on is going to either happen or not happen solely upon Yosef. Whatever's happening in your life is solely upon how you interact with the text, how you let God move inside of you, and how you respond to what's being taught. Other than that, it's not going to happen. It's not going to one day you wake up and it's going to be like a cherry falls out of a cherry tree and hits you on top of the head. That's not how it works. You got to know your assignment, whatever that is. And whatever that assignment is, you got to take it to heart. It's got to be something that you cherish, and that you understand the value of your assignment. How many know Yeshua knew what his assignment was? Yeshua wasn't trying to chase somebody else's assignment. He knew what his assignment was. And he made certain that he did everything in his power to bring about the assignment that was given to him by his father. Just like Yosef has to understand this assignment. Now, having the assignment is one thing. Moving out in faith is a whole different thing. Faith is something that it takes action. You can't say you have faith if you never took a step forward. If you never opened your mouth and said anything. Because faith is action. It's either action in speech or action in literally walking out faith. Walking it out. Taking a step forward. That's faith. That's trusting God. That's believing as real fact what it doesn't make sense to you. Your natural mind can't understand it, but your spiritual man understands the assignment. And so Yosef has to understand he has an assignment that's given to him. And this is what we see here in the 41st verse. And Pharaoh took his sealed ring off his hand and put it on Yosef's hand, and he dressed him in a garment of fine linen. I mean, see these things. Now, I covered this last week about the ring off the finger. And I went into the finger of God and how important that was and the value of understanding that in the text. Every time you see the finger of God, even our master brought it up. God, because it carries authority with it. And so now that Yosef's been given his assignment, now his assignment his assignment warrants a certain amount of authority. Pharaoh knows this. He can't just put him in charge and give him no authority. You know, if I tell you I need you to do something, I'm going to put you in authority, but I give you no exousia. No exousia whatsoever. You have no. You can do it, but but basically what I'm saying, you can do it, but you really can't do it unless you come through me. Yosef had to be given authority. And the part of Pharaoh knew that, so he had to remove something from his hand which signified he had authority, took it off his finger, and he put it on Yosef's finger. Now Yosef has the authority. Just like when God wrote the, you want to know what the authority is in the Word of God? The Torah. It's written with the finger of Jehovah. That's the authority. So whatever else is out there, it has to bow its knee to the authority. And you can, people can be critical when you first come out with these statements because it goes against what's the common thing that people believe today. But I can assure you, those folks have never studied 1 ounce of what the finger of Elohim means. And he associated the finger of Elohim with the Shabbat. Remember he said at the beginning, he said, keep my Shabbats with an S. It's in the plural. That means all his Shabbats. There are many Shabbats, not just a weekly Shabbat. There are Shabbats during Passover. There are Shabbats during Shavuot. There are Shabbats during Sukkot. There's Shabbats all throughout the feast days. And this is what he's making a reference to. Now, he doesn't say keep my feast days. He said keep my Shabbats in the plural. And so as students of the scripture, we should know what he means there. And then he ties it as a sign. The Shabbat is a sign. And then he sums it up at the end and says, and let's not forget, he was given 2 tablets. Moshe was given 2 tablets with the record of Yehovah written with the finger of Elohim, that authority. And so understand that Moshe didn't write it. He was given the tablets, written with the finger of Elohim. That's important. That's valuable because what we see is we don't have secondhand information. We have firsthand account coming straight from Yehovah himself as he writes with his own finger by the authority that he has. There's no one has greater authority than he has. Remember, he's the Most High. You can't have 2 Most Highs. Which one is the Most High out of the 2? You're always going to be battling there. It never gets settled. But there's 1 Most High, and Yeshua understood that clearly. They came to him and said, good teacher, tell us what we know. He said, why do you call me good? He said, there's only 1 good. He understood that clearly. He understood his assignment. And he understood the authority he had. And he had to make sure that people didn't twist the record because he was there representing the Father. But at one point, you remember they said, show us the Father, and it would suffice. He says, haven't I been with you this long? Haven't you? Don't you now know? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Because he was representing him perfectly. And we have to ask ourselves, are we representing him perfectly? Or is that even a thing? Is that even something that's possible? Can we represent him that way? Well, we have to look at the record, and the record tells us that we're supposed to do that. Now I'm going to have to calm myself down because I'm going to get ahead of myself. And so we see that, and Pharaoh said to Yosef, see, I've set you over all the land of Mitzrayim. And Pharaoh took his sealed ring off his hand and put it on Yosef's hand, and he dressed him in a garment of fine linen. He dressed him in a garment of fine linen. And that garment is very important. I brought all of these things out, what I didn't cover last week during the main message. I did it during the Midrash. And put gold chain about his neck. So he took him from positions that were inferior to a different position because he has to first understand his assignment, then he has to understand now he's given the authority of the assignment. And so what we see is Pharaoh's building Pharaoh. Sometimes that's hard to wrap our mind around, but he's making him look just like him. He puts garments on him. These garments are not just any garments. They're not Yosef's garments. They're garments for the king. He puts king garments on him. He took him from rags of prison wardrobe, and now he's putting a garment of the king on him. Can you imagine that? Then he puts a gold chain. And when we look at that word gold in the Hebrew, we find out that it's attached to the seed or the grain. The gold represents part of what his assignment will be. He'll be over the grain. That's what the gold represents. Pharaoh's not over the grain. Yosef's over the grain. He's going to be the one that presents the bread of life. Who presented the bread of life to us? Yeshua said, I'm the bread of life. And so we see that he's over the grain also. So we see this typology in the story of Yosef, in the story of Yeshua. There's no doubt typology that we see in the text. And so then what we see is he had him ride in the second chariot. The second chariot wasn't something that was inferior to the first chariot. It was identical. Everybody say identical. It was identical. Because just like in America, we have Air Force One and Air Force Two. So we have the one the president rides in, the other the vice president rides in. But they're identical. They're painted the same. They have the same emblems on them. Everything's the same. They have the same capabilities. If one goes down, there's a backup. So he says, you ride in second chariot. So what happens is two fellas are standing on the road, and they look up and they see Pharaoh coming. And the one fella says, hey, get ready. We got to pay obedience. Pharaoh's coming. If they missed it, they got in trouble. And they would send out ahead of the chariot, they would be those who were making declaration. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. They would send out those who would shout, bow the knee, because Pharaoh's coming. Maybe you're busy and you're doing something and the chariot passes and you didn't bow the knee, you're dead. That's how much authority Pharaoh carried. Well, now he just gave all that authority to Yosef. And so two fellas are standing and says, hey, there comes Pharaoh. And the guy said, no, that ain't Pharaoh. He said, it looked just like him. I know he looks like him, but that's Yosef. This is what he was doing. He was making sure everyone understood that. And so when it says this garment was put on him, that garment in the original pictograph has to do with treachery and deceive, if you look at the word. Why? Because he's trying to make sure everybody understands that I'm going to dress him so well, you're going to be tricked in thinking it's Pharaoh. Why did people need to be tricked that it was Pharaoh? Because when Pharaoh said something, they did it. There was no questioning. There was no back and forth bickering about, well, I don't feel like we need to do that. None of that happened when Pharaoh spoke. Well, Pharaoh didn't want Yosef to be speaking, and they would interrupt him and say, well, he's just a Hebrew. He wouldn't allow that. And so Yeshua, again, because Yeshua died, some people think, well, he was less than the Father. He came as a suffering servant. He gave his life for the whole world. And if that don't do something for you, I don't know what will. Nobody took my life. He said, I laid it down. I gave my life for you. And so it's not like somebody took his life, like somebody ambushed Yeshua and killed him. He gave his life. Because at any moment, he had the authority. He had the ring. At any moment, he could have called legions of angels and they would have delivered him and killed everybody around him. Immediately, just one request. But he laid his life down for us. That ought to do something for us, that alone. And so, again, this is just reviewing, going through this. And so he says he's riding in the second chariot. Which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. And he set him over all the land of Mitzrayim. That's just a repeat of where we started at. He set him over all the land of Mitzrayim. Just so everybody's clear, let's not forget, the assignment is he's over all the land of Mitzrayim. That's the assignment. Just so we're clear, when Yeshua came, unless you and I accept him as the only begotten Son of God, repent of our sins, and accept him as the Son of God, invite him into our life to be Lord of our life, there's no salvation. Just to be clear. You say, well, you don't quite do it that way. I don't know what where you're getting that from, because there's only one way to the Father, and that's the goal. We got to get to the Father. Only one way, and it's through Yeshua. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father but by me. And so let's understand that there is no salvation. I don't care how long you've been going to church and what your theology is. There is no salvation unless you've accepted Yeshua as the Son of God who died for our sins. He was then risen on the third day and now is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. We accept him as the final payment of our iniquities. And your sins aren't covered. They're removed. You've been... Brother Chad was talking about darkness last night. And instantly when I was sitting there, you've been translated. He's taking you from darkness and you've been translated into the marvelous light, he calls it. Not just light, marvelous light. Not just any light, it's marvelous light. Why? Because he's making a reference there to the glory. There's some things we were, but we're not no more. There's some things that you had trouble overcoming, but now you overcome these things because you understand the power that resides in Yeshua as he carries out his assignment for us. How many know his assignment's not finished? There's part two to his assignment. First part's finished. He finished that. He's never ever dying again for you. He already did that. He don't have to be raised again for you. He already did that. He's seated at the right hand. That's already been done, but he has a part two of his assignment. And one day, his Father's going to call him from that priestly role that he stands in now, and he's going to set him there, and he's going to inaugurate him as the King of Kings. He's going to bedeck him in royal attire, and he's going to say, go get my children. And he will carry out that assignment because he carried out the first. There's no reason for us to think that he won't carry out the second assignment. He will do that. So how wonderful is this? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. I am Pharaoh. And without a word from you, let no man lift his hand or his foot in all the land of Mishreim. I'm Pharaoh. But understand with Pharaoh, I am Pharaoh, but let not one man lift a hand or foot unless you give the word. He might be Pharaoh. Listen, there's no salvation unless Yeshua has given that word to us. None whatsoever. You can't even access the Father. You have no access to the Father because we all come with sin-stained rags. It's filthy. He said, our righteousness is filthy rags. We can't access the Father. But through the Son, Yeshua, because he comes in and cleanses us of all unrighteousness, now we can access the Father, and we can never forget that. He's the only way we have. Verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zanath Paneah, and he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, of priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Mishreim. How much did he cover? All. He didn't miss a spot. Why? Because he had authority over all the land, just like Yeshua had all authority. It didn't make a difference if it was in heaven or on earth. He had all authority. And Yeshua went all throughout the land, and he made sure that everybody understood that authority. Now, we know that religion tries to undermine his authority. And they'll come up with statements like, well, there are many different ways to God. Really? Trying to undermine his authority. There was not a single person that ever lived or ever will live that Yeshua didn't die for. Why? Because he went throughout all the land. All the land. He covered everybody. If you were born in his time, you were covered. If you were born before his time, you were covered. Or if you're born in the future, you're covered because he went through all the land. It's only through his son that we have salvation. How do we know that? Because Zanath Paneah, just on its surface, Joseph received a new name. On its surface, if you're looking it up in your study tool, it just means treasure of the glorious rest. And that's fine if we stop there. But if we just go a little bit farther, we understand that what's happening here through his name is being revealed his new purpose. Now it's being really set in stone. He has his new purpose. Or in Pharaoh's mind, he's seen him this way, therefore giving him this name. Likely means Elohim speaks and he lives. Elohim speaks and he lives. Because Pharaoh, when Yosef opened his mouth, it was like Elohim speaking. And so Pharaoh recognized that, and because he speaks, we're going to live instead of dying. Because remember, we have a worldwide, chaotic future event that's coming. 7 years of famine. In the 7 years of plenty, you better know what you're doing, because you're going to suffer during the 7 years of famine. There's no doubt. And so Pharaoh, as he looked at Yosef, he saw him as when Elohim speaks, he lives. He understood that understanding. But there have been many scholars before who wrote different things down. One said, salvation or savior of the ages. Zanath Panea, salvation or savior of the ages. Another one wrote, revealer of a secret. Revealer of a secret. And so we see all of these things, they refer to Elohim giving the message that will save many lives, that will save the lives of many. He's given the message in his name, Zanath Panea. And then if we continue reading again, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on these. There's a certain spot I need to get to. I'm sure our brothers will come and do a follow-up and all this stuff. And he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar of On, and Joseph went over all the land of Mizraim. Asenath, just in general, its meaning is belonging to the goddess Neith. And you can go and you Google and put the goddess Neith and find out all about that. But that was, why? Because she was Egyptian. She belonged to the goddess Neith, and so they would try to attach a famous goddess to their children. That's what her name meant. You say, well, man, I have a problem with this. Why is Yosef going to take a wife that is attached to some goddess of Neith? Again, remember, Yosef's doing nothing but standing there, and he's letting God do what God does. And sometimes God does something that seems to be a bit off. But we have to have Asenath to have Manasseh and Ephraim. And there was no restriction against him having an Egyptian wife, only a Canaanite wife. That's what the text says. The only restriction, you cannot take a wife from the Canaanites. Other than that, there was no restriction. So why do we come along? Because she's attached to a goddess, and we insert our religious, our self-righteous attitude, and we blow the whole thing. We can't get we can't even get past this. Because then we try to make it where she's not really Asenath. She's a daughter of so-and-so long time ago, and we can't reason this. But sometimes God does these things, just like he puts garments of deception and allowed Yaakov to have garments of deception when he came before his father and tricked his father to make him think he was Esau. You go, what? Why'd that happen? Sometimes God allows these things. And the same Hebrew word for those garments that was used when Yaakov was put the garments on is the same Hebrew word that was put here when Pharaoh put the garments of deception. Why? Because they want everybody to think this is Pharaoh. And so we see these wonderful things. So this is not a violation of Abraham's command. The Hebrews were only supposed to avoid marrying Canaanite women. And you can look that up in Genesis 24, verse 1 through 4. I won't read it. And then the next verse, Verse 46, now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, sovereign of Mizraim. He was 30 because that was the age where you're ready to go into your calling. That's where the priest, at the age of 30. Now the priest started the training at 1 month. If we go and study the Torah, we notice that we went through all those texts. At 1 month old, they're starting to be developed to carry out the call from 1 month. But at the age of 30, Yeshua came into his ministry at the age of 30. And so again, that's those typologies that we see in the life of Yosef. But at the age of 30, he comes before. Joseph was young to have such authority. 30, that was young. Very young to have such authority. So at 30, they would begin their priestly responsibility. But by the age of 50, they was really at their peak. He's 20 years young to being at his peak, yet he's given all authority, all of Mizraim. He has to understand that's a heavy assignment. Sometimes your assignment's heavy. It's very difficult to sit down and even think about your assignment. Some of you hadn't thought about your assignment at all, which is shameful. We all have one here. Every one of us have an assignment. There's something that God has called you to do and called you to be, and you have to walk that out with everything that's in you. And so Joseph was young to have such authority, but he had been refined and prepared since he was 17. So for 13 years, he was in preparation for this assignment that he went through. And he's stepping into it. Now he's stepping into this assignment. So his preparation days are over. Now he's stepping into the assignment. So it's about to get real, real good. 13 indicates the start of something new. 13 indicates the start of something new. And you can read Genesis 17, 22 through 25. You'll see that Ishmael was 13 and Abraham was 99 years old when they were circumcised. So both ages are important, but the Ishmael being 13, God was bringing them to something new. Now we have a covenant that was sealed by the removal of the flesh of the foreskin through circumcision. So now we have that circumcision covenant, and Ishmael was 13. Again, he wasn't the one, but his age is the important thing for us to look at. That God made sure that he was 13 because it's the start of something new. And so you can read that for yourself. And now, what I did the review for us to get here. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, sovereign of Mizraim. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Mizraim. Let me see that. He went out. In order for you to go through all the land of Mizraim, you first have to go out. And that word went out is what I want to really focus on. He went out. In the ancient Hebrew, we have the Zadi Aleph, and it literally means, just on its surface, issue excrement. Anytime you see excrement, you go, oh boy, I have a tough one with this. So we see as the Zadi is a picture of a man lying down or squatting to issue out of something. Sometimes we got to get in the right position in order to get out of us what needs to come out before we really step in to the fullness of the assignment. And this Hebrew word is telling us that has to happen. Now what we see is this word is yatsah. Yatsah means to go out or come out, exit, go forth. And again, I'm going to read the main text again. And Joseph went out. The term went out, again, is what we're looking at, is yatsah, from the presence of Pharaoh. And so that has to be something that we have to take into consideration. You have the assignment, and you can talk about the assignment. We can all You know, spend time writing about the assignment, encouraging each other with the assignment, but you can't get the assignment done until you went out from the presence of Pharaoh. And we see that in Yeshua's life. He went from the presence of his father, and he came and was born, and he took his assignment on, regardless of how difficult it was. And we know it was very difficult. Yeshua's assignment was not easy. But he had to leave from the presence of his father for that moment. He had to, because he was in it. He was there, and he steps out from that. And now, here we are, getting to experience how Yeshua walked out and lived out the assignment perfectly, yet it was very difficult. And your assignment, you know, when we hear our assignment, we want it to be just wonderful. We want it to be all nice and have all sorts of things attached to it, that niceties. But we find out many times our assignment doesn't have a lot of niceties attached to it. And sometimes it might be difficult. Sometimes it puts a strain on you. Sometimes you're sleep deprived because of your assignment. But you have to stick it out, because we know that in the end, it's what God has called us to do. And we see this in the life of yourself, in this Yotzav. It means to go or come out or forth or depart. To go forth to a place, to go forward, proceed. So all of these definitions, you can read them all yourself. So Yotzah, again, is what we see happening here. is just what Yosef had to do. He had to go from the presence of Pharaoh, because he's still standing there, and he's been bedecked, he's been given the assignment, everything, but it never goes into action until he goes forth. Nothing's happening. He's not getting a single thing done with going out throughout all the land of Mishreim unless he leaves from the presence of Pharaoh. Now, in the presence of Pharaoh, there's comfort there. Just like in the presence of the Father, there's comfort. It's wonderful. But we step out in faith. Sometimes stepping out in faith, you instantly feel alone. Now, are you alone is the question. We know we're never alone. He said he'd be with us. He'd never leave us nor forsake us. But when you step out in faith, that feeling of alone comes and it grabs you, and it tries to bring fear and doubt and anxiety against the assignment. And if you let that happen, when you're supposed to be doing this, you're not doing it. When you're supposed to be saying this, you're not saying it. When you're supposed to be living up to this, you're not living up to it, because you succumb to fear, because of the first thing you had to deal with was being alone and stepping out in faith. Faith has to grow. You have to grow in faith. You have to trust God. You're never going to grow in faith until you take the first step. Never, ever. You think it was difficult for the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, spent all her money on physician, and instead of getting better, she got worse? And she was down on all fours, and she was crawling to get her miracle. You think it was difficult the first time she did this? You better believe it. For 12 years, she bled. She had a flow of blood. She was weak. She was anemic. And the crowd was there. But she had to press through the crowd. So there's people stepping on her fingers. But she's going to get where she's going, because she knows, if I can just touch his zitzits, I'll be made whole. And sometimes it's difficulty. And faith means you got to push through. And so we see Yosef. He couldn't start viewing the land of Mitzrayim until he left from the presence of Pharaoh. That has to happen. And so we have to step out in faith. We have to trust God, that God has called us to do what he's called us to do. And we step out in faith and we trust him with everything that's in us. The text that the Lord brought to my remembrance was Hebrews chapter 6. If you'll turn there, Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1. Says, therefore, having left the word of the beginning of the Messiah, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of belief toward Elohim, of the teaching of immersions and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of everlasting judgment. And this we shall do if Elohim indeed permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and have become partakers of the set-apart spirit, and having tasted the good word of Elohim and the power of the age to come, and fall away. This is not just sin. This is falling away. This is leaving from an established assignment in God and falling away from that assignment. No longer talking about the assignment. This is not just sin. Because, you know, he's not just talking about, oops, I slipped. This is not what he's talking about. He says, when you fall away, you're falling away from the assignment that you've been given. You no longer talk about it. It's not something that's important to you no more. You fall away to renew them again to repentance, having impaled for themselves the Son of Elohim again and put him to open shame. What you once stood for, you don't stand for no more. This is what he's talking about. What you once believed, you don't believe no more. It's sad to ever fall into this situation. Yet we see folks still doing it today. Because can you imagine if yourself would have took this approach? He didn't take this approach. He understood his assignment was important. He understood that his assignment meant whether people live or die, just like Yeshua's assignment. His assignment meant whether we have a plan of salvation or no salvation. Can you imagine if Yeshua would have faltered on his assignment? We'd all be lost. Thank God he was faithful to his assignment. And shouldn't we be faithful to ours? Shouldn't we dedicate our lives to the assignment he gave us? Listen, I was very clear on my assignment with God. And there have been difficulties through the assignment. There have been reasons to quit. But you have to understand the assignment is more important. And unless he gives you another direction, you're still underneath that assignment. There's nothing else to go to. You can't quit, pick your marbles up, and go home. That's what you did when you were kids. When you was a child, you thought that way, but you became a man. You put away childish behavior. You don't think that way no more. You don't get upset about what's happening. You recognize, I got to stay true to this word. What you once believed, and you fall away from that. It's terrible to ever fall in that situation. Remember, Yosef, he had to go out from the presence of Pharaoh. As long as you stay in there, it's wonderful. Everybody can have faith in the presence of Pharaoh, in the presence of the Father. You feel comfortable. But when you got to step out and you feel alone for the first time, it gets very difficult. But that's when you really feel him in that relationship. That's when you really feel that he's there. He puts his arm around you when he lets you go through it for a while. He lets you bear the difficulty. But you're trusting him. He lets you sweat a little bit. You know, some of our guys, sometimes they sweat over this word. He'll let you sweat over it. I mean, you'll sweat over it. And all of a sudden, he'll come through for you, put his arm on you, touch you. And you go, wow, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing more comforting than that. But he'll let you sweat it out for a little while. Why? He's building your faith. He's building the fact that you're living out the assignment that he's given to you to do what he's called you to do. And so we see this is beautifully put. Now I want to back up to verse 1 because he says, therefore having left. The word left there is a Greek word that's closely associated with the Hebrew word that we just gave you, with yatsah. This Greek word is associated because it's ephemi. And it simply is telling us it's to sin away. And it's almost confusing. King James puts it this way. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us move on to perfection. That's how it's put in King James. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine. You say, why would I want to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ? Where am I going to go? He says, move on to perfection. So there's something that he calls perfection. You're moving on to perfection, not just trying to stay saved. I'm just trying to be saved. Well, let me just tell you, you already are. Move on to perfection. Master your profession. Fine-tune your profession. Don't just stay in a safe place of being saved. So he puts it in a way that's it's really challenging, because he's talking about to bid going away or depart. This is this word left. And so I'm going to read it again to you from our text. It says, therefore, having left the word of the beginning of the Messiah, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to perfection. Wow. Gets very difficult when you see that terminology. Go on to perfection. Meaning there's more to being a believer than just being saved. You become a viable component to someone else being saved when you understand your assignment. When you realize that you've been given an assignment, you have to leave from being in the presence of Pharaoh. Because as long as he was in the presence of Pharaoh, he was always under this impression. Well, I know I'm standing here, I'm bedecked, I look just like him. But it never became real to him until he was willing to step out by faith and go view all the land of Mitzrayim. And when he was viewing the land, he was in charge of all that land. Nobody could do anything without Yosef saying it. Now, he's been told all these things. So you can be told all these wonderful things. You read the scripture, and God's telling you this about yourself, and you can be an overcomer. Though your sins be as scarlet, you shall be made white as snow. All these things, you're told all these things, but it never becomes real to you until you step out and realize, this is actually happening in me. This is real. It's actually happening in my life. You hear all these things, but you don't walk out. You don't step out and live these things out. You have to live them out. You know, we read about being more than conquerors, but we don't want to conquer anything. Because we want to stay in his, we just want to stay right there with him, because we never have responsibility as long as we're in the house with Pharaoh. It's time for you to take responsibility. Be responsible for your walk with God. Be responsible for it. It's not the pastor who's responsible for you. I'm here to deliver the message. I'm doing my job. I deliver the message to you. You have to take the message, and you have to engage in the message. You have to, that's what Brother Chad made sure to present to us last night. You have to actively engage in the message. You have to actively be involved in the message. You can't just be hearing the message. You got to engage in the message. You got to take some time. And it's going to take time. Trust me. It will take time. It will eat up all your time, your extra time you have during the week. It'll eat it all up. But you'll be better for it in the end. You'll be so much better for it. So we have a faithful God. I can't express how I feel this morning, how faithful he is. I ask him, and he tells me, because he's faithful. It's not because you're smart. I'm not the smartest guy here. But I ask him, because I don't know, but I ask him, and he's faithful every time. And it just makes you want to realize, have I stepped up to my assignment? Have I really stepped out in faith? I talk about faith. You know, I talk about everybody else having faith, but have I really stepped out from the presence of Pharaoh and I went and viewed all the land of Mitzrayim? Have I done that? Have I done that? And he's calling us to step out and do what he wants us to do. And so you can read the rest of Hebrews 6. I put it all there, all the way up to verse 12. And there's so many, I'm not going to teach Hebrews 6 in its entirety, but I wanted it for that first verse, but it's very difficult for me to put one verse down for anything, because I wanted you to see it in this context. People going through difficulties, they're having struggles because they're staying, they're just holding on to Yeshua, afraid to go in and step out in faith, got an assignment, but I'm not doing anything. I'm too afraid to do anything. And they succumb to fear, and before you know it, they're bombarded by the enemy on a weekly basis. They never have victory. Their victory is based upon somebody else's aspiration. They're inspired by somebody else's story. You got to get your testimony right. And you don't get a testimony until you had victory through something. You've been through something. I might as well do it now. Sometimes the set-apart spirit will bring it when he wants it. The Bible says, let's see what the master says about this. Yeshua told his disciples, he said, get in the boat and go to the other side. I'm having to skip a lot to bring this now because this don't come too much later, but I have to. Matthew 14, 22. I'll read it to you so I don't tell the story wrong. And immediately, Yeshua made his taught ones into the boat and to go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Verse 23. And having dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Can everybody say, by himself to pray? Sometimes you're going to be by yourself praying. And you're going to feel that way. But it's okay. It's part of the assignment. This is not the only time Yeshua was alone. He was alone in the garden. He had brought people with him, but they were sleeping. He was alone. They weren't actively involved, engaged in what he was doing. He was alone. So he's by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was what? Alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, agitated by the waves. Anybody ever have a week where it was agitated? You ever had an agitated week by the waves? Waves are, if you're a boatman, you know sometimes the waters can be contrary. Currents going one way, winds going, and you're trying to fight that, and it's not an easy ride, and your boat's jumping and being tossed to and fro because it's agitated. Sometimes life gets that away. I mean, you're dealing with this, and all of a sudden this comes, and you turn around, and this has happened, and then you get this call, and this has happened, all at the same time. And you've been sent out for an assignment. What's your reaction? But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, agitated by the waves, for the wind was against it. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's about anywhere from 3 to 6 o'clock in the evening, the fourth watch. In the fourth watch of the night, from 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning. Think about that. Now, Yeshua had been praying all night long. He's in the fourth watch. He went to them walking on the sea. And when the taught ones saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a phantom. And from fear, they cried. Why'd they cry? From fear. Why? Listen, everybody has to deal with this fear. You know why fear comes? It's uncertain. You don't know what to do. You got a situation, but you don't know how it's going to be handled. You don't know the outcome. And you're kind of sitting there. All of a sudden, fear comes. Same thing the disciples are dealing with. And from fear, they cried. But immediately, Yeshua spoke to them, saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. What did he tell them? Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Let me tell you one thing about Yeshua. He was on top of his assignment. Now, I'm sure it must have been a challenge for Yeshua. He's on the mountain and he looks out there and he sees them boats just tossed to and fro. And the Father says, go to him. It's not like he's got a boat or a pirogue. So he goes to him, he starts walking on the water, part of the assignment. Had to be challenging, all its own. You come to the land, you're at the end of the land. The next step is on the water. How challenging is that? Yet Yeshua, he walks on the water. He says, take courage, it is I, be not afraid. Do not be afraid. And Kepha, everybody say Kepha. This is Peter. Kepha answered him and said, Master, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, you know, we want to applaud Kepha, but his mouth says a lot of stuff way before he thinks about it. Maybe he thought Yeshua would say, oh, no, Kepha, you can't do this. This takes real commitment to walk on the water. He didn't say that. You know what he said? Come. It's time for you to leave the boat of security. You got to leave Pharaoh. You got to get out and do your assignment, Peter. Come. If you look up that word, again, it's closely associated with Yatsah. Again, all of these words. And this is Erhomi. Erhomi. It means to come. Of persons, to come from one place to another. It's used both of persons arriving. It appears to make it appear, to make one's appearance, come before the public. Metaphorically, to come and to be and arise, come forth, show itself, find place or influence. Listen, there's no doubt that God has given you a place of influence. But if you don't take your assignment serious, your influence doesn't take effect. And remember, Peter is in the safety of the gunnels of a hull that might be agitated, but nonetheless, he's in the boat of security. And all of a sudden, whether he spoke out of turn or not, he finds himself in a real position. The master says, well, come. I've been waiting for this day for a long time. You've been talking, but now you got to leave the boat of security. If you want to come out here, come on out here. But it's not easy to leave the boat of security. It's not easy to leave from the presence of Pharaoh, because in the presence of Pharaoh, you still have this idea that I don't have all the responsibility. I'm with Pharaoh, and really this is his kingdom. I'm a stand-in, but I don't have all the responsibility. Listen, Yosef had to leave from the presence of Pharaoh. He had to leave from his presence. He had to get out there and be the guy that God called him to be. Just like you and I, we got to be the person God called us to be. And sometimes it's scary to think about it, but you got to have faith. You got to step out, take that first step. Can you imagine when Peter lifted his first leg over the gunwale? And it touched the water. I'm sure he was seeing if there was a bottom. And it didn't move. He said, well, okay, I got this. So he got his other foot out there. Now he's still holding on like this. It's working. He's so amazed. He's got his eyes on Yeshua. And now he's walking on the water. And all of a sudden, he takes his eyes off the source. And immediately he began to sink. The lesson was for Kepha to learn something. You can do the assignment as long as you keep your eyes on me. Just like to everybody here, your assignment is not too difficult. And it's as important as any assignment in here. There's no assignment that doesn't have an importance to it, has value to it. And you can do your assignment. You can do it as long as you keep your eyes on the master. And so it's not like we don't have these examples that tie in together and show us time and time again how important it is. But sometimes we never walk into our assignment because we're so afraid to let go of the boat of security. We're so afraid to step out from the presence of Pharaoh and go throughout all the land of Mitzrayim. Joseph had to take responsibility, full responsibility, that it wasn't on Pharaoh no more. It was on him, just like Yeshua did. He took full responsibility. It's not the Father who's going to come and die for you. He sent his Son to die for you and I. Remember that. The Father don't have to die. He sent his Son to die for us. His only begotten Son died for us. The Father loved us. That's why he sent his Son to die for us. But a lot of times people think the Father has to die in order for their payment to be really a real payment. Why can't we let the Word of God be what it is? What it plainly says. He sent his Son to die for us. Why would the Father have to die? And so we write songs like somehow God died, and now it's a much better thing that God died rather than the Son of God dying. It's just mind-blowing sometimes when you think about it. But think about this story. When he says, come, how much value there is in understanding these principles. Now, one of the things that I want to go back to, because I kind of jumped ahead because it came out at that time, so I figured since it came out, I might as well deal with it. But I want you to go to Isaiah 30. I'm going to read Isaiah 30. This is the prophet Isaiah. And wherever this fits for you, it's going to fit. Whatever you are supposed to get out of it, you'll get. But this is one of them places that it has such a variety of angles of impact that it may not everybody's going to get the same thing out of it. But I want you to listen careful as this is laid out so beautifully for us. We're dealing with this term and Yosef went out from the presence of Pharaoh. The word presence there. He went out from the presence of Pharaoh. And this should be important to our life, should be valuable to our life. From the presence of Pharaoh is where he went out from. And you and I have to understand these concepts. We have to make sure that we're not in any way being troubled by them. And so we see this word from the presence of Pharaoh being described in the ancient text as a mem nun, which is 4480. Everybody with me? And it on its surface, it's firm, kind, and sure. The pictograph, mem, is a picture of water or other liquids such as blood. The nun is a picture of a seed representing continuance. Combining these means blood continues. Each species or kind continues by passing its blood to the following generation, which comes from the parent. Also, the idea of strength through the blood. So understand that when you have two people who have a child, if they DNA'd the child, that child would have the blood of the parents. That's how they would be able to determine the child's theirs, because it would have the blood, because it's a natural thing that happens. The blood is passed on. And I want you to understand, when Yeshua called Kepha to the water, he was trying to pass on something to him. He was trying to let him realize that if you quit looking at everything else and keep your eyes on me, you could do the same thing I'm doing. Nothing, there's nothing to this, but you have to stay focused. That's the issue. The issue is sometimes staying focused is one of the hardest things we have to do during the week. It's staying focused. It's when we lose our focus that we wind up in trouble. Has this ever happened to anybody besides me? When you lose your focus, the difficulty seems more difficult. The situation seems like it's a crisis because we lose our focus. When, as long as we're focusing on Him, we feel like there's absolutely nothing that we can't do. But as long as we're in His presence, we're good, we're champions. But we can't fulfill the assignment if we don't step out. Stepping out is the key. And so when you step out, you have to focus, stay focused on Him. Focused on the things you've learned, the things that impacted your life, the things that challenged you and you overcome it. You have to focus on, your faith has to grow constantly. When you step out and you begin to take on the assignment, the difficulty's coming. And so we all have an assignment. And so we see this, these terms, and it's the term is men or mene or mene. So three ways this thing is pronounced here. Men, mene, or mene. From out of, or on account of, off, or on side of, since, above, that, so that, not, more than, it's more than a preposition. From, expressing separation, off, on the side of, out of. And so he had to go out from the presence of Pharaoh. There's no getting around this. And so we see that in this word, men, mene, or meni. And so now with that in mind, I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 30. Verse number 8. It says, and go, write it before them on a tablet, and inscribe it on a scroll, that it is for a latter day, a witness forever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who refuse to hear the Torah of Yehovah, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us what is smooth. Prophecy deceits. Turn aside from the way. Swerve from the path. Cause the set apart one of Israel to cease from before us. When it says turn aside, again, this is the same word again, leaving from the presence of Pharaoh. So it says in the verse 11, turn aside from the way, swerve from the path, cause the set apart one of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus said the set apart one of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this crookedness is to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly and swiftly. And he shall break it like breaking of a potter's vessel, which he broke in pieces without sparing, so that there is not found among its fragments a shred to take fire from the hearth, or to take water from the cistern. For thus said the Master Jehovah, the set apart one of Israel, in returning the rest, you are saved in stillness and trust is your strength, but you would not. And you said, no, for we flee upon horses, therefore you flee, and we ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you are swift. 1,000 flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of five, you shall flee until you are left as a pole on top of a mountain and as a sign on a hill. But what we see here is Jehovah will be gracious. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his graciousness toward us. If not, we'd be underneath the reproach of the beginning reading here. But verse 18, he says, "And therefore Jehovah shall wait to show you favor, and therefore he shall be exalted to have compassion on you. For Jehovah is an Elohim of right ruling. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He shall show much favor to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears, he will answer you." We have to learn to cry out to God. Listen, it's okay to admit that you don't have it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. It's okay to say, "God, I don't have it. I'm struggling here." But you cry out to him, and what he'll do? He'll hear your cry. Whatever you're struggling, you know, you keep looking at the assignment, you say, "That's too big for me, it's too much." You may not have all the tools you need, but you got to understand you can cry out to him, and he's going to deliver to you everything you are. You don't think it was intimidating to yourself to leave from the presence of Pharaoh and walk out? When he stepped out, all the land was his. Here we got a 30-year-old Hebrew, basically a slave. For all these years, he was struggling with all this confidence. His confidence had to be under attack constantly. Yet now he's stepping out from the presence of Pharaoh, and now he steps into the land, and all the land is his. Every person in the land has to pay obedience to him. It can get very difficult to take on such an assignment. Yet he understood that if he trusted God, God would be with him. Though Jehovah gives you bread of adversity and waters of affliction. Anybody ever have that? Bread of adversity and waters of affliction. Your teachers shall no longer be hidden. This part really got me this morning. But your eyes shall see your teacher. They'll no longer be hidden. You'll finally see it. You'll get what's been said for a long time. It'll become real to you, and you'll say, "Wow, wow, God, you've been looking out for me. You've been watching over me. I finally see it." And your ears hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Whenever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left, you shall defile the covering of your graven images of silver and the plating of your molded images of gold. And you shall throw them away as a menstrual cloth and say to them, "Be gone." Now understand this. He's called them out. He's called them out into some deep things. And he knows that they're still going to have struggles. He says, "You shall defile the covering of your graven images." He knows they're still got these things, but he says, you're gonna instantly know how to deal with it. You're not gonna let it linger. You're not gonna let it stay. And so as you're going along in your assignment, and all of a sudden you come up against this water of affliction, and you're struggling that week, you deal with it right away. You handle it. As Brother Chad shared last night, you don't wait, you handle it right then and there. You make sure you get on top of it. And he knows this is going to happen. So what he says, he's saying, "And you shall defile the covering of your graven images of silver and the plating of your molded images of gold. You shall throw them away as a menstrual cloth and say to them, 'Be gone.'" Now notice how he puts this. This is put in a nasty way. But it's showing the uncleanness of these things. And you can't carry out your assignment as long as there is any uncleanness there. We have to deal with the uncleanness. And let me just give you a heads up. Everybody here is dealing with some uncleanness that just kind of pops up. But the danger is when you don't do anything about it. He's telling us. He's going to be gracious if we'll take care of handling our business that he knows we can do. "Be gone." Say to it, "Be gone. I'm not doing this again." "And he shall give you rain. He shall give the rain for your seed, which you sow in the ground, and bread of the increase of the earth. And it shall be fat and rich. Your cattle graze in a large pasture in that day." Notice that God, he wants to add the blessings to it. Because it's on the other side of yes. There was no blessing. There was nothing going to happen in the life of Yosef until he left from the presence of Pharaoh and went out through all the land of Mishraim. He had to go look at the land. It belonged to him now. There's nothing going to happen. There was nothing. He would have been ill-prepared to try to handle. He had to go look at the fields, how many fields we have, how many cities we have, how many acres of grain do we have? Can we improve? Can we knock down these trees and make more grain? We're going to need it. He had to go view all these things. None of that would have happened unless he stepped out in faith. So he's telling them, he shall give rain for your seed with which you sowed the ground and bread of the increase of the earth. And it shall be fat and rich, your cattle's graze, and in large pastures in that day. Thank God yourself stepped out in faith, let go of the boat of security, and got out there on the water and kept his eyes on the master. Because if not, he would have been ill-prepared. He had a great assignment, but it would have never took effect until he got out there and done something about it. The oxen and the young donkey that work the ground eat seasoned fodder, winnowed with shovels and fans. On every high mountain and on every high hill, there shall be rivers and streams of water in the day of great killing. Then the towers fall, when the towers fall, and the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that Jehovah binds up the breach of his people and heals the wounds of his blows. He's going to heal the wounds of his blows. Thank God. Listen, you think you're going to go through hell and not have a faithful father be standing right at the brink of it to get you out of it? He's not going to let you go through anything that he's not going to rescue you. Just like Yeshua showed up to rescue his disciples that were out there. They were in trouble. They were going to go down. They're all going to perish. But he showed up and fixed it for them. But in the process, he taught a great lesson. And we don't really understand the fullness of the lesson of Kepha getting out the... Now we do. Now we understand the fullness of it. We have to understand it's time, Peter, for you to quit just counting on me to do it. Let go of the boat of security and get out here on the water. Come. He said, come. See, the name of Jehovah is coming from afar, burning with his wrath and heavy smoke. His lips shall be filled with rage, and his tongue be as a devouring fire, and his breath shall be as an overflowing stream which reached up to the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of falsehood and a misleading bridle on the jaws of the people. And you can look at Amos 9:9 there. And I'd say read all 9. You'll see some powerful principles there. Let the song be to you as in a night set apart for a festival and gladness of heart, as he who is going with a flute to come into the mountain of Jehovah, to the rock of Israel. And Jehovah shall cause his excellent voice to be heard and show the coming down of his arm with raging wrath and a flame of consuming fire, which scattering downpour and hailstones. For though the voice of Jehovah Asher is broken down, but through the voice of Jehovah Asher is broken down, with a rod he strikes. And every passage of the ordained staff which Jehovah lays on him shall be with tambourines and lyre, when he shall fight with it, battling with the brandishing arm. For Tophet was ordained of old, even for the sovereign. It has been prepared. He has made it deep and large, its fire pit with much wood and breath. The breath of Jehovah has streamed as a stream of burning sulfur is burning in it. And so he's telling us in Isaiah 30 that although there's going to be judgment, the graciousness of God, in the difficulty of the assignment, he's going to come through for those who stepped out in faith and did the best they possibly could to do what God's called them to do. In the midst of it, I don't care.
It might be crumbling down all around you, and you right in the middle. He's going to show up, and he's going to put a stop to all of the difficulty that you face and come through for you every time. We see it time and time again, and I pray that this has at least challenged you to look at this in a light just somewhat different. And we see that. Last thing I want to read is John 3, 16. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to read on a little bit. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only brought forth son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but possess everlasting life. For Elohim did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only brought forth Son of Elohim. We have to believe in him. I said that earlier when I first started. There's no salvation outside of believing in Yeshua. You have to believe in him. That's the only qualifier that there is for you to have any access to the Father. Verse 19. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. Now I'm telling you what Yeshua did. He had to leave, he had to come into the world. He had to leave from the presence of Pharaoh and go throughout all the land of Mishreem. This is our master. He come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, for their works were wicked. When he came into the world, he brought light into the world. There was nothing but darkness. But he brought light. Brother Chad talked about that last night. About when we overcome by sin, we instantly stepping back into darkness. And if you don't deal with the judgment's there. It's already upon you. But we have to understand that he has come in the world. He's not from the presence of Pharaoh. He's went through all the land of Mitzrayim. He's coming to the world. Our Savior, our Messiah has come in the world. Now you'll notice that this word come is the same come of Matthew when he says to Peter, come. For everyone who is practicing evil matters hates the light and does not come to the light. We have to come to the light.
That's right.
Lest his work should be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason people have a problem with coming to the light. Their works will be exposed.
That's right.
And so there's a frustration, a certain amount of frustration when you start talking about the Torah and laws and right rulings and guarding the commands of God, that people immediately experience this frustration because the light has come and exposed the darkness.
That's right.
Because that's what it does. No different than it does in your life on an individual basis, on a daily basis sometimes. But the one doing the truth comes to the light. So we're not exempt from getting out of the boat of security. We can talk about Peter, what he did, he got out and he sank. We can use it as different stories and memes. You know, that's Bible memes. That's what I call them. People use it. It's completely out of context. It doesn't connect to anything in the Old Testament whatsoever, and they're not interested in making a connection. I'm not here to give you memes. I'm here to show you what thus said the Word of God. And Peter had to come. Because the master said come, and he's calling us to come. And so we see, by doing this, the truth comes to the light, so that his works are clearly seen, that they have been wrought in Elohim. And so that's what we have to do. Now, when Yosef left in the presence of Pharaoh, did he stop representing Pharaoh? Of course not.
No.
Matter of fact, he dressed him just like himself. And so people couldn't figure out if it was Pharaoh coming or not. So you know what they were doing? They were bowing the knee. When Yosef rode through the streets of Mitzrayim, and he went through all of Mitzrayim, covered every city, every town, every field of grain, he visited everything. He was tallying up. This is what we're going to have to do. And if you read on, you'll find out when Yosef got ready to, when the 7 years of the grain came, he made sure to build these silos for grain in the city. The fields of the city was those, and so there was a smaller city. It had less grain, but nonetheless, he wasn't going to teach socialism where we just get all the grain. No matter what you did, even if you didn't plant, we're going to give you some. Don't worry about it, my boy. We're going to give you a little grain. He taught capitalism. The big cities had bigger fields. They had bigger silos. This is yourself. Why? Because he had the spirit of Elohim in him. So when you talk about God, God's not a God of socialism. He's a God of capitalism. If you work, you get paid. If you don't, the Bible says if you work, you eat. If you don't, you don't eat.
That's right.
You know, socialism says, it don't matter if you work, we'll feed you.
Feed you to death.
You can only do that for so long, and what happens?
I'll feed you to death.
You run out of money. But yourself was dealing with having to save the entire world at that time, and he had to be very smart. And so we see these things. These are all principles of God that's written in the text that you would normally not even talk about. It's not like you go to it and preach on this, but yet God's saying it. So what are we going to just pick and choose? We should be willing to take on these things and understand these values. And so I'm going to stop right there, and because it goes into verse 51, and it starts to really get going here. We're almost going to finish this one day. So my plan is just to wrap up the entirety of chapter 41, read through the verses, kind of give you, a rough go at some of the words. And you're going to get something out of it, no doubt. But you remember, we're not here to do our plan. We're here to do what he says. We're here to make sure that the assignment we've been given, we carry it out to the best of our ability. And that's what we see happening today. So I appreciate you. Today I thank God for you. Let's stand.